It's Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. You're listening to episode 12. It's not really a secret to anyone anymore. Running time for this episode is about 37 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach again.
Rejoining us.
Zach again.
Yes.
Son of Zach. We actually had to murder Zach.
He's actually the third clone out of a batch of five, so we have two more to go after this one.
Zach 2 is so promising. I built him battle armor and fought him against Ash Ketchum.
Well, most of them just kind of fail due to rage problems.
Your problem was bringing an Atlas against a Pikachu. You should just never do that. For those of you who didn't see that, Zach just glared at me.
You could also see that we're playing The Legend of Zelda this week, a beloved classic that is in a franchise that Tyler and I have very strong feelings for.
Ugh.
So does Zach, but they're in the opposite direction.
Zach doesn't actually have feelings. His feelings are, I'm so good at first-person shooters, how am I out of slingshot ammo, and I still haven't hit this switch?
Shut up! Because that's true, doesn't mean... Oh, wait, hang on. Yes, it does. That does mean you're allowed to make fun of me for it, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure we're allowed to make fun of you for anything we want. That doesn't mean it's justified. So,
Zach, let's make fun of you for what you've been playing this week.
That's a long list. I've been playing Madden because you still left that at my house. I've been getting back into Call of Duty and Halo multiplayer, so there's a lot of yelling in my basement now.
Not from me.
Shut up. I'm not yelling. It's people on the TV. It's got nothing to do with me.
I'm nodding sagely, listeners.
Hey. I got nothing.
That was it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That wasn't a long list at all.
No. Well,
you lied
to
us.
Well, I've also been getting back into Rune Factory.
You should talk about that.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's why we asked.
Like, I just started Fire Emblem again yesterday. The Wii one. The
Radiant Dawn.
All
right, so Tyler, what have you been playing?
More Rune Factory 2. I think I'm actually almost done with it. I've beaten all the bosses, and they're like these tablet things that you have to collect, and I've gotten all but one of them. So... almost done. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Sweet game.
Beat Super Mario 64 recently.
Fun game.
Stuff. I think that might actually be it. I haven't been playing a whole lot recently.
You and
Minecraft?
I have both been playing.
I haven't played Minecraft for the last 2 weeks.
I thought you said you were playing Pixelmon.
Yeah, just before you guys got here for about 10 minutes. So.
Well, unlike you, I have been playing Pixelmon. Both with my brother via LAN and on your server that doesn't work.
It's not my fault. I need more memory.
I'm sad I built my secret base so close to your guys' village so I can actually get there.
Oh, dude, you have a secret base? I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, it's a sign that says Jeremy's secret base.
So secret and hard to find, isn't it?
It's actually got a nice spot on the map just because of some nearby landmarks that wasn't intentional. That's pretty cool. But you're close enough that I can go in and deposit Pokemon on your PC, which is nice.
Is your Bulbasaur still fighting the Magikarp?
No, it fixed itself eventually. I've got a Bulbasaur, or now an Ivysaur, a Kadabra. I almost caught a Lapras, but my Pokemon fainted because it was in the water.
Oh, it shouldn't, actually. They don't take damage from external resources in battles.
Huh. Well, it did.
Oh, well.
And what else did I have? I have one other Pokemon I'm actually using. Growlithe, Bulbasaur, Kadabra, Gyarados, duh.
Oh, well, everyone needs a Gyarados.
Although I can't ride mine. Is Gyarados rideable?
Yeah, you have to have nothing in your hands when you try to right-click it.
Oh, okay. That would explain it.
That took us a while to figure out, too, because I caught a Fearow with the intention of riding him. Like, well, maybe you can't ride Fearows. Oh, well, here, Ed, have a Fearow.
I also caught a Squirtle, a Graveler, and a Pikachu.
I call blasphemy. You can't catch Squirtle. He doesn't exist in the universe if you don't start with him.
He does in Pixelmon. So do Bulbasaur and Charmander.
I'm a proponent of the legendaries aren't unique, just rare.
Makes sense.
They've got the models done for the legendary birds now.
Yeah, I was looking on the forums about how they plan on releasing them as basically dungeons.
Oh, really? Really?
I've also been playing Pokemon Pearl, although not too much of it. I caught a Magikarp, which violates my used before rule a whole lot, and a Bidoof, which has joined my team. It's distinct from Bidoof.
It's got a W instead of two O's.
And a U.
I didn't say anything. Well... just because I gave a funny look means nothing.
I also finished the story mode for Naruto Shippuden Ninja Adjectives.
How does that end, anyway?
Toby and Madara leave, and Itachi's like, I have to do something, but the story doesn't get that far yet, so I'm leaving too. And Toby's like, I'm not going to reveal my name yet, but it's important. So I'm making a new character with another mask.
Even though it's obvious who I am, because foreshadowing in this story is immense. So I told you our podcast got Katie, kind of, playing Pokemon.
You did.
Okay. I just wanted to get that on air.
Other things I've been playing, I haven't been playing Kingdom of Loathing, because I've been playing too much League of Legends. I picked up Leona. She's a lot of fun. She Solar Flare stuns people.
Who? What?
Leona. She's a character in League of Legends.
Oh, okay.
She has sun powers.
Super sun powers.
And a sword and a shield. Everything you need.
The best kind of skill, sword and board?
This isn't my shield. This is my death masher board.
And last, I've been playing Dynasty Warriors 5 Empires, because that's a good game.
What?
Kao is going to take over the world.
You've been playing games other than Kingdom of Loathing and League of Legends this week.
I told you I haven't been playing Kingdom of Legends. It hurts. Kingdom of Legends.
League of Loathing.
get on that, people. Oh, man, I would totally play League of Loathing.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
I want to play Jarlsberg in League of Legends now.
You're aware I do own Dynasty Warriors 5 Empires, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, just checking.
I do, too.
Have you noticed this disturbing trend to just tack endless adjectives onto sequel names now?
It's nonsense. Because the numbers are too high.
Naruto Shippuden Legends Ultimate Ninja Storm Adjective Generations.
Yeah, that's actually the one I have. You linked to the wrong game.
Oh.
I want one of them to just have adjective in the title. I want a game to just have this list of adjectives, and one of them is just adjective.
Also pretty great, The Legend of Zelda.
That's debatable.
Quite.
Well, let's talk about our first game in the Legend of Zelda series. I think Tyler and I have actually both mentioned this on the podcast before.
Really?
When was the first time you played The Legend of Zelda, Tyler?
I think it was Wind Waker. No, it was Link to the Past at someone's house when I was like, I don't know, before I was 10. So.
Mine was, we got Game Boy Colors for Christmas, but we only got one copy of Pokemon Gold. And I had a brother, so I couldn't play Pokemon Gold all the time. But we got two Game Boys. So I could play Link's Awakening. That wasn't actually my first time playing the game. My first time was in a Target. They had Ocarina of Time on display, and I played it to prove to myself that it sucked. And you didn't even have to jump. It's a terrible game.
What a stupid game. You can't even jump on command.
Ocarina jumped for you.
Oh, Ocarina. Yeah, I think I remember that now.
Yeah, as you run towards ledges, which is actually different from most of the Game Boy ones, where you get an item, usually, that lets you jump over one tile gaps.
As Jeremy mentioned, I'm terrible at Ocarina. That's the first one I ever played.
Play Majora's Mask.
It's the same.
Except better.
Why is it all your Zelda paraphernalia always ends up at my house and just kind of chilling in some place? You still have that strategy guide. You didn't hide it in my house again, did you?
I also have my 25th anniversary symphonic CD. That's like all my Zelda paraphernalia. All of it.
Well, your other Ocarina of Time is still in my basement when I borrowed it from you like a year or so ago.
Yeah, but I own two copies of that still.
Oh, right.
Counting that.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, I've got that nifty Master Collection for the GameCube and also the Gold Cart over there.
I'm pretty jealous of that Master Collection and the Gold Cart.
I'm not a Zelda person, but the Gold Cart is very cool.
I have a gold Majora's Mask that doesn't work, but I'm holding on to it just because it's gold.
Melt it down one of these days and make money?
Yeah, exactly.
Here, have a pile of melted plastic and silicon.
Used to be a video game.
It's gold, damn it. It's gold.
There's gold in them there cartridges.
Gold-covered paint. I stake my claim right here.
No, it's ingenious. You paint your gold with gold paint so it looks fake. No one will ever steal it.
That is true.
I agree with this plan.
Unfortunately, we're not talking about Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past.
Or
Link's Awakening. Or Majora's Mask. Or Wind Waker. Or Twilight Princess. Or Skyward Sword.
Or Oracle
Phantom Hourglass.
Wake me when you get to the one we're actually supposed to be
Spirit
talking
Tracks,
about, okay?
That's one.
Spirit Tracks, The Adventure of Link, The Adventure of Don't Hit the Table. We are talking about The Legend of Zelda on NES, the original gold cart.
Oh, yeah, it was on a gold cart, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
You can only get this one on a gold cart. They didn't later issue plastic dumb carts like they did with Ocarina of Time.
I got nothing. I mean, I didn't have an NES, so I'm uncultured, I suppose.
I had an NES, but owned neither Metroid nor Zelda.
Same.
So.
Which is kind of surprising, given how much you liked Metroid.
I didn't know I liked it then, so.
Touché.
No, I had to make do with Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which was a sweet game.
I had Willow, which actually, in retrospect, is better than Zelda, so.
Ah, them's fighting words. I've never played Willow, though, so.
Ding, ding, ding.
So let's talk about The Legend of Zelda, the actual game.
Do we want to hit mechanics first, or...
Should we start with how the game opens with the black screen, the sword coming down, and enter your name?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the opening screen is pretty badass.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, me too, because I skipped it so many times afterwards, but...
And then you have to put in your name, and oh my god, there's enough characters that my name fits, guys. Do you know how many times growing up that having a 6-character name screwed me?
I remember some times where having a 5-character name screwed me, so...
I wouldn't know. I've got 4.
You bastard! That's the correct number.
I'm better than you, I suppose?
Well, then, once you finish entering your name, you go back to the file select screen, and then you just get dumped into the world, right?
That's kind of weird, yeah.
And then you will be spending a lot of time in that area for the rest of the game.
At least Octoroks are easy to kill, and you've got a nifty shield, so you can block their rocks.
And it's dangerous to go alone, so a guy gives you a sword.
So, is it just me, or is it entirely possible to beat this game without ever picking up that sword?
Yeah, that's a common challenge for The Legend of Zelda, is to never get a sword and beat the game.
Zach's just looking very confused.
That's possible?
Yeah.
I kind of thought you had to.
No, you can go and get the bow in the first dungeon.
And bombs. You can also use bombs.
Did we ever, I'll admit, after I didn't play it after we talked about it on Monday, but did you ever go back and find it? Because I know you were having trouble finding it as well.
Yeah, I went back and got it. Once he said it was in the first dungeon, it was really easy to see. Oh, I didn't go to that room.
Come to think of it, I don't think I ever found the first dungeon.
That's actually something that always confused me, is people who have a really hard time beating any individual dungeon in Zelda. If you've got the map, you know where all the rooms are. Just go to them.
Well, in this one, combat is actually kind of a challenge, especially with the bosses. There were a few bosses I was stuck on for a little bit. I shouldn't say a few. I was stuck on the 4th boss for a little bit.
Is he the double-headed dragon?
Yes, he is.
I hate him. With all my ire.
Combat's hard because the controls are terrible. It has nothing to do with them actually being difficult. It's the controls suck.
I don't think the controls are bad. I think the enemies are poorly designed.
I think the combat is actually fine. The controls are pretty precise. They are kind of demanding. They don't teach you how to fight. They throw you in the deep end and say, hey, swim. And it takes a while. But I was definitely getting to a point where I could maneuver around the Octoroks such that I was always pointing my shield at incoming rocks and dodging the fireballs from the guys from offshore. And killing
Zora?
Them all, yeah, the Zora, and killing them all without taking any damage.
Well, did you ever have trouble with the night guys? They are called Dark Nuts, by the way, which is a terrible name.
Yeah, but it felt like those enemies were supposed to be tough. They do randomly turn around, which makes them a huge pain in the ass. But you can use the terrain to your advantage most of the time and find safe places to strike them from.
Did it get to the point where there are 2 rooms in a row with 5 blue ones each?
No. I did not.
There is no terrain in one of those rooms.
That does sound bad, but bombs.
I had to fight to them by standing in the doorway. You know, and I didn't have bombs because there were 3 Dodongos to get to that room, which you had to go through every time. Except for the wall that you could blow up that I didn't notice until later, but...
For anybody who doesn't actually know what Tyler's talking about, the game never names any of these enemies unless you have the manual. So it's basically just to take a guess and call them what I ended up doing, which was...
Night
Hopper
Guy.
Digger.
Giant lizard dude.
Lizard thing. Dinosaur. Annoying little bat who's out in the river.
I think that's part of the fun of old video games. Because I didn't have manuals to any of the games when I was a kid.
Me neither. I got them
secondhand. And I think this game would have been a ton of fun if I had it when I was a kid. It doesn't hold up super well. But especially if I had a friend who I could talk about it with and say, hey, what have you found? Oh my god, there's a thing over there? Man, I have to go look for that.
So you're saying like an early water cooler game.
Aren't all games water cooler games? Aren't all hobbies just things that you can talk to people about and kill time with?
Well, yeah, but specifically like stuff you need to explore and find. It's like, oh, you found that? So that was where? Well, I found this. Have you found that?
Yeah, I remember the last water cooler conversations where I talked about finding the insert football team name here in Lost Woods. God damn it.
You found the Ravens and the 49ers. Yeah, they were going at it somewhere out there. There was a miner. He had a pickaxe against a very angry Raven.
I was going to use the Ravens, but I forgot where they came from. So.
Baltimore.
God damn it. I was going to call them the New England Patriot Ravens.
You want to make people mad, call them that, because they're in the same division. They hate each other.
The Patriotic Ravens. I don't think that people at the water cooler often talk about where they find things.
Okay,
so.
I mean like other nerds, like talking about with people who play other video games so you can find it, like playing Skyrim or something. I mean, I've talked to our buddy Cody about the different glitches that we've found in that game.
I think that's actually the reason everyone plays Skyrim, is just so they can compare glitches.
I think that's called playing Elder Scrolls, is finding a glitch and comparing it to other glitches.
I think this game is very much not a sandbox, but it's a scavenger hunt. The whole point of the game is to see what you can find.
I agree, but in order to beat the game, you have to find almost everything. I actually like the exploration element of this game. I do not think that you're ill-equipped for it, except at the very beginning where you have no health and everything kills you in a couple hits. But after you get a little bit of traction, the exploration part of this game isn't that bad. It penalizes you for trying it, though, so...
Well, to be fair, when you start with 3 hearts, and you spawn with 3 hearts all the time. When you have full health, your sword becomes a laser sword. So even early on, you have sort of an advantage.
Oh, that's what guided how whether or not you could throw your sword?
Yeah, it's if you have full health.
I never figured it out. I'm like, why is... He throws it sometimes, but... Doesn't do it. Okay, I feel silly. I think the exploration would have been fine if I'd had a friggin' map to know where I've been already.
Yeah, the lack of a mini-map actually hurts this game rather a lot.
It kind of has a mini-map, but it has no detail. It has,
exactly.
Battleship coordinates, and people have made maps based on that. But I agree. Similar to Metroid, it really needs a map screen.
There are maps in the dungeons that name rooms, but there's no real anything else. I'm losing. I totally had a thought here.
There's no detail about any of the rooms in the dungeon, and you don't
square.
You don't get anything outside of the dungeons. You just know where you are on the grid, but you don't know anything about what's in that grid. I guess you could take notes. In fact, old instruction booklets used to have a couple blank pages for taking notes.
And I think this and Metroid both, they're trying to get you to make your own maps, like you were supposed to in old D&D. You were fine being the cleric. What you didn't want to be was the guy who had to draw the damn map.
The GM?
No, the GM makes the map as insidious as he can to torture the guy who has to draw it, since he had to draw it first.
Make it three-dimensional with a bunch of staircases that, like, cross over each other.
I would totally play that.
You enter a room. There's a staircase above you.
Huh?
It's upside down.
And a man coming out of the wall to the left.
And his name is, in the grand tradition of D&D, Roll for Initiative.
I'm a big fan of sandbox games. My biggest problem with completely open sandbox games is that I need some objective.
I feel like the instruction booklet is supposed to give that to you in this game. And it's a very simple rescue princess plot, but it's something. It tells you there are 8 dungeons with 8 pieces of the Triforce hidden in them, guarded by 8 bad guys. So it gives you something. But I agree, this game gives you very little.
There's not even anything really to do once you've become frustrated with looking for those individual dungeons like modern sandboxes give you.
Look more. Explore all squares on map.
I tried doing that. I got fed up like the 30th time I died going down the same freaking road.
It took me about an hour to get into this game. But once I did, once I found my first dungeon and was finding secret stores and places with just rupees in them, I really started to enjoy finding things. And I realized most of the time I'd go in somewhere and it would be nothing, but that made the times when I actually found something way more valuable. And there is something to do. I don't think this is a good game design, but you can just kill enemies, which gets you, you know, builds your skill in combat, and gets you more rupees, which you can use to buy things like the candle. And I found the blue bracelet, which has the damage you take. It's 250 rupees, which is a ton. But when I finished the 4th dungeon and couldn't find the 5th, it wasn't frustrating because I was farming for rupees and I had that secondary goal.
Like Zach said, though, if you happen to not have mastered combat readily and are still wanting to try to explore, it inhibits your exploration by just killing you all the time. I don't really want to have to wade through the same horde of 50 tektites every time I want to walk from one side of the map to the other.
I agree with you. One thing this game does give you, though, is enemies don't respawn...
3 screens. You have 3 screens that you keep in memory.
Okay. They won't respawn right away. You can often go back to them.
Well, I'm with Tyler on this one. I had so many problems with the combat, and I found Dungeon 2. I don't remember if it was 1 or 3 next. And then I found number 8. And I couldn't pull them off because I had no idea. I didn't have the appropriate level rating, and because I couldn't know where anything was, I never found the other dungeons.
My biggest problem with the combat is not actually on the world map. I don't like having to wade through enemies on the world map just to go from point A to point B, especially if I'm in a hurry. I disliked the more difficult enemies that did an inordinate amount of damage and moved more or less randomly. Most of the enemies did not have a specific pattern, and that is mildly irksome.
That is problematic. Pattern learning is how you beat a platformer. Since this is one of the first non-platformer games, it's very natural to want to beat it by learning the patterns.
That's how it is with most games. You look for the pattern in whatever it is you're doing and succeed. I mean, it hasn't changed in 20 years.
As humans, we like to recognize patterns, and I think that's one of the things that games are great for, and coincidentally, it's the really only good way to program games.
Going forward with the Zelda series, I don't want to transition to this quite yet, but one of the things is you always know how hookshot puzzles are because they're similar to the old ones, and it's a great reward structure, like, oh, I remember this, but this is something new. But to your point, Zach, about finding the eighth dungeon, I feel like that gives you a choice that, at this point in gaming, games didn't really offer. At that point, you have, okay, can I beat this eighth dungeon even though I'm not equipped yet? Am I that good? And if the answer is no, you can always go look for the previous dungeons.
I found the sixth dungeon first and got my, well, maybe not the sixth. Maybe it was the seventh. Oh no, I got the blue candle really early and wandered into the eighth way before I should have.
I never found the eighth dungeon.
It's under a bush. A couple screens up and to the right of your spawn point.
Oh, wait, I didn't find number 8. I think I found number 6, whichever one's up in the graveyard somewhere.
Yeah, that's number 6.
We gotta find the maze where, yeah.
I really like being able to take the dungeons out of order, or try. I got my ass handed to me every time I tried, but at the same time, like I said, the difficulty from the enemies comes from their random behavior. Except for the Wizrobes, which aren't entirely random. Having the level 2 shield helps a lot with projectile attacks.
I totally got mine eaten by a like-like and face-palmed.
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't think I got there. What?
There's an enemy called a like-like. There aren't many of them. If they hit you and you have the level 2 shield, they eat it, and you go back to the level 1 shield.
Meaning you have to go buy the level 2 shield again, which is like 130 rupees or something like that?
You can get it for as low as 100 in one shop, but I think the average is 130. It's 160 in a couple.
I actually do like that the shops have different prices, so you can kind of shop around if you're looking for something.
Provided you don't get killed going from one shop to the next.
Actually, that makes it easier. So if you're like in the top left of the map at that shop, and then you die, you can just respawn and then walk to the right. It's kind of an abuse of the mechanics, but something you can totally do.
It also keeps track of the number of times you die, which is interesting.
Yeah, I hate looking at that triple-digit number.
Does that affect anything?
No.
Oh, okay, so this is a completely random question. You guys might know this. But there's that number in Ocarina at the save file, and it's a 3-digit number. I have no idea what that keeps track of. Do you guys?
There's one for your rupees. Oh. That might be a death tracker, too.
It might be. It's always 0 for me, or maybe 1, so I don't know.
I think that is a death tracker as well. I'm not sure.
Aww.
Why do they keep track of that? Just to make you feel bad about dying a whole lot, or to make you feel awesome about not dying?
Combination of both.
I think that's kind of feeding the same portion of ego that I like when I beat a Mario game with 99 lives. Not the original Mario.
I don't care for them to tell me how many times I've died along the way. I just want them to... I would rather just beat the game and say I was able to accomplish it than being able to say I can do it any other way.
I agree, and if you beat the game without dying, you know you beat the game without dying, so...
Yeah.
Another point about this game is it came from a time when you could fit very little on a cart. And, oh my god, this game is too short, and we literally cannot make it longer, no matter how much thought we put into it, was a problem. So you had games like Castlevania, that the solution was, we are going to make this game murderously hard, so that you have to spend 18 hours if you want to beat it.
Well, do you think that a death counter is just, we have a couple bytes left over on the cartridge, let's put in a death counter?
No, I was going to say, this game takes a different track. It takes, okay, we're going to make them explore, we're going to make them find stuff, and we're going to lengthen our game in that way. I think another thing, though, is that adds a certain level of replayability. Just by having that counter, you can say, man, I want to try this again, but with fewer deaths, or I'm going to try a run where I don't die at all.
The second quest is actually an interesting addition for that reason. After you beat the game, you can play through it again, but all the dungeons are in different locations, and I think enemies do more damage?
I believe so. I did not get that far.
Neither did I. I beat the game and decided that was it.
I didn't get anywhere near that far. I mean, you can use that as a way to say, yeah, there's more replayability there, but speaking as myself, which clearly that is the expert opinion here, I just don't see why. Well, I suppose the reason why they set it up that way is because amount of space on the cartridge, but it felt like they were hiding their actual content to me because they didn't have the room, so they didn't want you to actually get through it, so they managed to hide everything from you.
As a game developer, would you ever do that? I don't think that was their intent.
Keep in mind how many games force you to go through content because, oh my god, they might skip my content! Really, the point of this game from the developers, Matt Oath, is he used to explore a lake when he was a kid, and it felt huge to him when he was a kid. And he wanted to sort of recreate that, you know, exploring and finding thing. And I actually think he did a pretty good job.
Was that Miyamoto?
Of course that was Miyamoto.
I never realized how much fun Exploring Lakes was.
It either had to be him or the guy who made Pokemon. That's like, you know what's awesome? When bugs crawl over a line, I'm going to make Pokemon.
Wow.
True story, man.
I'm not denying that. That's okay. Like I said, I didn't like the game. Do we want to get into what they spawned on this yet, or?
This game is clearly hugely influential because of its non-linearity. Even Metroid is really linear compared to this. I mean, it has occasional spots where you can go up, but on Zelda, every screen that isn't touching an edge, you can go four directions.
It's not even the geospatial non-linearity so much as you can literally go anywhere at any time and try to do anything.
There are a couple of barriers. You need a boat to cross the docks. You need the ladder to
get further across so you can cross on the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of games nowadays even don't have that kind of level of flexibility. I mean, there's very few of them out that you can go out and just, you know, I'm going to go try level 9 first. No, you got to go through a level 1, even on a lot of the, like, true sandbox games like GTA or Oblivion or something like that. No, you have to do level 1 before you can do level 9. I like that part of it. I just didn't like the fact that I had to find all this crap without having any kind of thing that was able to help me locate it.
So, really, a mini-map would have fixed a lot of problems for this game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for me, a mini-map would have done wonders.
Before we get into its descendants, then, let's do what they could do to improve this game, and make Link to the Past is not a valid answer.
Well, I think the first answer is make Link to the Past, and
it's not an answer because it's clearly the obvious one. Link to the Past has a great map screen.
You heard they announced Link to the Past 2?
What?
For the 3DS?
Is it just a...
No, it's an actual game. New one.
Huh. Interesting.
Just with the same styles, Link to the Past.
Minimap. I think that sums up everything that had most of my problems with this game, was just the minimap.
I'd say make your tools more effective. There are a lot of times where the optimal strategy to beat enemies without taking damage is use the boomerang first. There are a lot of enemies that you can't use a boomerang on and cannot effectively fight with the sword.
Did you ever actually use the bow? I went back and got it, but I never bought arrows.
Not really. You couldn't affect a lot of things with the bow, so...
Huh.
I never got the bow, but the boomerang always seemed ancillary. It never really seemed to do a whole lot for me. I use it against bats.
Yes, it does kill bats in one hit, which is useful. I would say a little bit of a direction, or at least, like, some hints. Maybe not like, hey, here's the dungeon over here, but find a guy who says, hey, the dungeon is over here. They kind of had one of those in each dungeon pointing to the next one, but I would have liked a little bit of direction.
Like a quest screen? A hint? Thing yeah. That said where in general it might point you to.
Or maybe something that keeps track of the total number of things you've collected. The downside with that is it indicates how many things there are to collect. I mean, you know there are 8 dungeons even if you don't have the instruction manual after you beat the first dungeon, because it fills up 1/8 of the Triforce on your pause screen.
It actually looks like more than 1/8 to me. It looked like almost 1/4. But it does, you know, seem to shrink down, and you can see how it's all going to fit in.
Okay, mini-map. A wider variety of ways to traverse the environment. I feel as you explore more, you should be able to more effectively explore. And this game didn't really do anything to that.
What if they did something like Metroid, where you spawned at the latest dungeon you'd beaten? Or you could choose to spawn at various points if you unlock new spawn points.
I forgot about that. You get the whistle at some point, and that allows you to travel between all the dungeons you've beaten, which helps. I forgot about that. I retract that.
I think the spawning next to whatever dungeon you beat most recently would do a lot, because that way, for me at least, that would have implied that I'd done something. I'd had progress. Because otherwise, it's like, hey, start at the same place every time. So every time I die, it's like, okay, well, I'm back at the beginning of everything I've already done.
Well, unless you die in the dungeon, in which case you spawn at the beginning of the dungeon. Don't you?
Yeah. That is okay. Convenient. I think that would not be as much of a problem if the spawn point was more centrally located. But that creates a problem where you have even more choice. As it is, you are sort of funneled towards the early dungeons. You're pretty close to the first one. You're very close to the third. You're not that far from the second if you wander that way.
Yet I still managed to miss them.
Yeah, I did not find the first dungeon first. In fact, I don't think I found any of the dungeons near me first. I think I ended up wandering into the graveyard somehow.
I wandered way far away. I found the letter to get the potions first, but the first dungeon I found was dungeon 1, then dungeon 3, then dungeon 4.
A little bit of direction would be nice, or at least some, I don't know, landmarks, better spawn points, I don't know, something.
landmarks, I think, would have done a lot. The screens were pretty well established, but sometimes it was just hard to navigate where you were going anyway.
Really, just a mini-map would have been fantastic.
Mini-map is literally the only explanation I can come up for why I didn't have a whole lot. Like, why I was so frustrated with it was I didn't have the dang map.
And that would make you feel like you were making a lot of progress, because you were filling in more places.
Yeah. That's part of the reason I like Super Metroid, is because you can fill in the map square by square. And like I said, I also had some issues with the combat in this game. I didn't feel that you were super well equipped to take things out, other than with your bombs, but those were very limited, so.
I eventually got fed up with the combat and stopped bothering with it on most screens. I just dodged everyone and took the hits where I could and just kept going.
So how they actually improved this game, after they made Zelda 2, is they made A Link to the Past, a game that has a whole lot more weapons. Well, you could call them weapons, I guess you would.
But things to affect the environment.
A whole lot more tools is probably a better word, since a lot of them are just used to open doors.
Well, what is a weapon but a tool to use to hurt something else?
And therefore open the door of their fleshy interior.
Exactly.
Or it's a key, but when you stick it in people, it unlocks their death. And it has a much, much bigger world to explore, but it gives you more direction. It's like, hey, there's a temple in the mountain.
This is the first game in the series that I really remember, not Zelda, but Link to the Past, that I remember there being a bunch of optional side quest stuff that you could completely miss over the course of the story.
I don't remember much of that from Link to the Past. It's been a couple of years since I played it, and I didn't do it exhaustively, but
I don't think any of the medallions that you pick up to cast spells are necessary.
I don't remember any of this from Link to the Past.
You should play it sometime. It's awesome. I think we're probably going to play for the podcast eventually.
Almost certainly.
All right, well, I'll play it then.
Because then we can do like some sort of sequelitis F thing where we take Zelda 1, Zelda 2, and Zelda 3 and say, look how much better it got. Aren't you glad it got better?
And then we can do Ocarina of Time and we can just fanboy out.
I like Majora's
Mask
better.
Laugh at me over my inability to shoot the slingshot.
Maybe you'll get better.
Actually, you know, If this makes you feel better, Alex got farther in Ocarina of Time than you did.
How is that supposed to make me feel better?
Better being a relative term. Also potentially meaning worse.
So we've touched on Metroid a bit. Do you want to talk more about that? I know you really like Metroid, and you've sort of been negative about this game. But before we turned the mics on, you said you liked it more than Metroid, you felt.
I do. I liked Link to the Past more than Metroid. Yes, well, that is also true. I liked The Legend of Zelda more than Metroid. And I feel this is because The Legend of Zelda is a little less harsh and focuses a little better on the exploration element. While you can more effectively combat things, I feel, in Metroid, I feel like Zelda does a better job giving you an environment to explore. Like you said, Metroid is more linear than Zelda.
And this inspired things like Grand Theft Auto and Skyrim. Any game where you're going around in an open world, I feel it was people saying the same things we're saying now about this game. Saying, well, it's cool, but what if there was some optional stuff? Or, you know, so if you got stuck, you had something to go do.
Or, this is cool, I wonder what would happen if I was allowed to run over every civilian in the area.
There were no civilians in Zelda. Actually, if you tried to hurt the civilians in Zelda,
they attacked you.
Yeah.
The fire would start shooting missiles
I tried.
At you.
I tried a few times.
I got fed up with one of the dungeons, and I went and found one of the old men in them. And he's like, here's some advice not related at all to what you're having trouble with. I'm like, screw you, old man. And yeah.
I thought I was supposed to attack one of them at one point because I accidentally hit him because I thought I was supposed to hit A to advance the dialogue. And so I whacked him, and then the fireball started shooting me, so I got into a fight with him. Block the fireball, slash the old man. Block the fireball, slash the old man.
Well, you're like, I can hit him, so.
Yeah, I was there for like 5 minutes. I thought I was making progress.
So I think Zelda and to some extent Metroid, although like we said, Metroid is a lot more linear, were the progenitors of the modern sandbox genre. On the other hand, what was the first real sandbox game? Like what we would call a sandbox game?
SimCity?
Maybe. That's... SimCity's a simulation, though, which is kind of weird to think about.
Ultima
that way
predates this. It has certain elements. Some of them are unintentional. Like every version of Ultima, Lord British tried to make Lord British unkillable. And every time someone figured out a way, and one, you have to kite him to a ship because ship cannons don't deal damage. They have a 50% chance of killing what they hit.
That is genius. I could never play those Ultima games. From everything I've heard, they're just not my bag.
I've heard they get good for a while and then get terrible again, so.
I'm interested in Shard of the Avatar, but we'll see.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, that's the one he just did a big Kickstarter for.
Someone gave money to a guy calling himself Lord British?
Wouldn't you?
He went to space,
no.
Zach.
So? So did Neil Armstrong. I'm not giving him any money.
I gave money to the guy who did Dr. McNinja.
Still not giving him any money.
So I think we're pretty much done. Anything else we want to say on The Legend of Zelda?
Pretty much every other game in the series is better, including Zelda 2.
I haven't played Zelda 2, but I agree.
I'd say it's a great starting point for one of the longest running series out there. I'm not a fan, but the dang thing is still around. They're doing something right.
Given when it came out, it was definitely an innovative game. I think they have done better since.
It's 1 year after Super Mario Bros., and to consider that makes the game seem huge. I really like the game. That said, after I played it for a week, I'd gotten through 4 dungeons and said, you know what, I had a lot of fun, but I think I'm done.
I think some of the vitriol I have directed at this game came from the fact that I played Ocarina right before playing this, and Ocarina is just such a better game.
I'd definitely say it was worth the money I paid for it.
Which was?
On the virtual console, it's like
Five bucks for an NES game.
Oh, yeah, so $5. Yeah, I got a little annoyed at it, but it's still way worth more money than the amount of money I've put into COD map packs so far.
This game was fun for a while. I don't think I'm ever going to play it again. This is my third attempt at playing it through. I beat it. I'm done. I'm not going to play this game ever again.
I didn't beat it, and I think I'm done.
Same here. I might go back to it just because I feel a lot of loyalty to this franchise, and I did like this game. But I feel like if I was younger, and this was the only game I had, I would love it. But with all the options currently available to me, there's just way more to do. I can play League of Legends instead.
Super Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers is still a fun game, so.
You could play League of Legends. I'm shocked.
I could.
Or Kingdom of Loathing.
And that has Legend of Zelda references.
And Final Fantasy references. In fact, it has references of almost everything we've done. So, now that we're done talking about Zelda, Jeremy, what are we playing next? Because it's your turn to pick, because we're not giving Zach a turn yet.
I'm still pledging.
At least we're not making you, like, shoot kegs, so.
Well, we've played literally nothing on the Sega Master System. Good games there are few and far between, but Phantasy Star Online is a game I played way too much.
I think that defines all of us,
yeah,
Jeremy.
Yeah, I think we all have the entire Forest level memorized and how to, like, jump on top of the dragon's head. You can't do that in the game, but I think we all know how to do it now.
And Phantasy Star, the original, is on the Sega Master System. Also, there's a game on the NES called Operation Wolf. I really want to play it. It'll probably be terrible. What do you guys choose?
What is Operation Wolf? Why is it going to be terrible?
Well, because it's an arcade light gun game without an arcade light gun on the port.
Phantasy Star.
Phantasy Star.
So next time on Last Time, Phantasy Star, sadly, not online.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. This episode is copyright the creators.
All the video games other content referenced herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
If you want to stalk one of us individually, you can contact me, Tyler, at tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can contact me, Jeremy, spelled G-E-R-E-M-Y, @jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And lastly, I'm Zach @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Zach spelled Zach, by the way. If you don't want to follow the blog, you can follow our show page at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to follow the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
We have an RSS feed. You should click on it. Like all good gamer geeks, this was recorded in our basement.
Or our parents' basement. But it gives you more direction. It's like, hey, there's a temple in the dungeon. Or, there's a temple in the dungeon.
We encountered one of those, didn't we? In Deadlands? We found a temple in the dungeon?
Actually, yeah, we did. But,